Are you still getting ghosted? Maybe they're walking right past you as if they don't see you. Or perhaps, my personal favorite, they've come up with every excuse as to why you guys can't be together even though you practically are. Well, see, what had happened on season one was we thought we had done all the work, but perhaps there's a little bit more left to do. So here I am back for season two, your host, Justin Rain, ready to help you finesse through the stress in the land of fuckboys. So prepare to laugh, cry, possibly be triggered, but most importantly, I promise, this season we're going to heal as we begin to address our fuckboy problem.
Don't wanna be a player.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
I mean, a punisher, still got what you're looking for.
Don't wanna for be, thugs, don't wanna for be my thugs.
I don't wanna be a player no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Don't you know, big
on today's episode of Fuckboy Problems titled Mr. Selective Memory, I sit down with entrepreneur, my personal inspiration, and founder of Haas Urban, Hassan Saeed. On today's episode, we will be talking about ways to manage your own triggers for self-sabotage, how to manifest that dream guy, and everything that's on your list. Yes, we all have a list of dream characteristics, and he talks about how to manage those wants versus those needs to get the guy that you want. And lastly, we're going to be talking about optimistic vulnerability. Have you met someone who's been closed off, never wants to share? Or Hassan, he talks about taking moments of vulnerability, putting yourself out there in hopes of trying to get those hard-shelled partners to open up. But first, before we get to the good part and all those gems that he has to share, we have Fuckboys in the News.
Good evening, this is the news.
Campaign between James and Phoebe really heating up now, thanks.
Fucking library.
This is the fucking news.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No!
This is the fucking news.
Hey everyone, in lieu of having a normal Fuckboys in the News segment, I want to come on here and one, show just some love because what's happened recently in the sentencing of Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case is monumental, but also just the beginning for a lot of us. And I'm sure recently in our workplaces and just in our day to day, we may be challenged more than ever. And I know for myself personally, I have to continue to take care of white people and their guilt. And I just wanted to take a moment to tell you all that I love you. You are magical. We must continue the fight for the Breonna Taylors, for the Ahmaud Arbery's, for the Dante Wrights, and just recently, Makia Bryant. We may not know all the details, but what we do know is that a police officer could have done more before taking an innocent life. We must continue to use our talents, our skills, our voices, our platforms to amplify those in need and to support them as well. And I will continue to do that right here each and every week and with all my talents, my resources, and my personal platforms. So this is my rant for the week. Remember, stay black, stay beautiful. And without further ado, here's Mr. Selective Memory and Hassan Saeed.
I don't know what to do but to keep part two of my confessions.
Hey everybody, I am so happy to have my guest here today on this episode, Mr. Hassan Saeed. He is the CEO of Haas Urban and America's second favorite Virgo. I guess, yeah.
Second favorite,
you're
going to have to
be,
you. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, you're top two dead or alive. There you go.
Top two. Top two for sure.
Yes. How are you? Thank you for coming on the show.
Doing really well. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It's Saeed. It's a common
Saeed.
Mistake.
Yes. Thank you for correcting me.
No.
Oh, so I don't say it in the future wrong. I don't know why people feel bad when someone corrects them. I'm doing you a favor. So you
no, and also, like, how often do you see two Y's in a last name? Like, technically, it's spelled wrong. So, but that's not your problem. So,
that you gonna read the family line.
I mean, getting it for a while. It's just totally fine.
Oh my gosh. What are you, a Bridgerton? You gonna get mad? You just go cut, you just go chop the whole line.
I mean,
we saw how people were getting their names.
Talk to my family and they'll be like, she chops us every day. I've been reading the house down since I was three, so it's fine.
Well, I'm so happy for you to be here and talk to us about Mr. Selective Memory. We have all met someone that tried to make us feel like we were crazy, like we lost our mind. You don't know what I'm talking about. I was just here. You're in the room. You were in the room. I have it on tape. We have it on film, we'll dodge actually. It.
Baby, that good old Sierra Backman, just all the way to the floor to dodge the accountability and to dodge the facts and the receipts.
Oh my gosh. I like to use the Beyonce Olay commercial where all the lasers were coming at her and she was just dipping and dodging, honey. Yes, they try to dip and dodge. So tell us a little bit about where you were at in life when Mr. Selective Memory came into your life.
So, you know, I've been running my business for the last, like, it'll be 6 years in September. We're year three or four at this point, and still working my day job. I'm still doing now, which is different because, you know, the parallelogram, whatever. But at that particular point, I was emotionally, I think I was like, I was just kind of chugging along and I was a little bored. I was very clear on what my list was, right? Like, this is the sort of man who needs to approach me, and this is the sort of, and this is how they need to approach me in order for me to be comfortable with moving forward with someone again, right? Like, I had been single for a really long time, and I felt like I had really been doing the work. I had been very focused on really trying to become the man that I wanted. And as an aside, you know, it was a few years before that, quite a few years before that, I was with my therapist in LA, and, you know, I was talking about the struggles I was having with relationships, and we're talking about standards and things that we want. And she was like, all right, so for your next session, I want you to bring you have a list, right? And I said, yeah, I got a list. What you mean? Hello, Virgo.
Of course.
Like, and she was like, well, next session, bring your list. And I said, okay. So I popped in the next week with my list. We went through it and talked about it. And she was like, okay, great. And she goes, take this highlighter and highlight all the things on that list that you currently are right now.
You don't respect me.
I said, I'm paying you how much per hour? This is slanderous.
It is. I feel attacked.
Right. So I did it and I went through. It took a minute, you know, to really like gauge it. And I handed the list back over and she'd be like, okay, well, it looks like you have some work to do. And after that point, I was like, oh, I got it. Oh, all right. And that really kind of shifted me. So it'd been a really long time since I had really been in anything, because I was really kind of focused on myself and making sure that I was showing up as the best version of myself. And admittedly, at this time, I was not in therapy. And there's, you know, that's foreshadowing for what's to come. I was in an airport.
Okay.
And this man walked past me. And, you know, sometimes you have your inner monologue.
Yes, I constantly have an inner monologue. I think my life is a TV show.
Yeah, my inner monologue said, he passed. I said, God damn. Except it wasn't my inner monologue, it was my outer monologue, and he heard me.
Oh my gosh.
And he stopped and he turned around, and I was like, oh shit, I don't know nothing about this man. And he pulled over and he sat next to me, and we had started a conversation, and that's where it began.
And so Hassan got swept away. Because, bitch, I would have got swept. I would have got swept. And there would have been a cleanup on aisle four, because you got the audacity to sit your bald ass down by me.
But that fed into this is what I want, right? Like, you see it.
Boldness. Pull up, I see it.
Like, step to the door. Like, I'm ready. And
yes, pull up. So he sits down and you guys start talking.
Right. We want to. Yeah. And, you know, one thing sort of leads to another. I live in New York. He lives in Atlanta. And we decided that we were going to try and like make this happen shortly thereafter. And that was a full takeoff from there.
Yeah. Well, it's only a 2-hour flight. It's a fairly economically, you know, cost efficient flight. It's easy. Yeah. I can see that. So from there.
You would think so.
The foreshadowing. Okay, so from there, what is courting? I guess what is that dating phase like? Because you guys just had that initial blip. of what it could be.
Constant conversation, right? Like a little back and forth here and there for me. The disruption sort of started for me where, and this should have been the first red flag. Early on, we wound up having our first argument, and it was more of a disagreement, but the way it was handled was not good at all. And
then it turned into amplified.
Yeah. And it turned into him just like, he just shut down for a few days. One of the things that is an issue for me, like a core issue that I have that I've been working through for years, like I have really severe abandonment issues for numbers of reasons. And one of the things that I said to him, like on day two, was, look, if at any point you need a break or you need to take a step back or whatever it is, I'm going to ask that you just communicate that to me. Don't shut down and don't just disappear. Like, as we're getting to know each other, and you should know that I am a perpetual snow globe shaker, right? Like, I'm going to shake the shit up. If there is a line, I'm probably going to step over it. But because we don't know each other yet, I don't know what the line is for you. So you got to let me know when I've overstepped that line and I'm going to pull back. Like, there's several sort of like conversations and warnings about, this is how I know that I operate. And this is maybe where I faltered before. So here are the things you need to look out for in order for this to work.
So you were operating in a lot of self-awareness. You were operating from a strong self-awareness.
Absolutely. Because it also, I think it's worth noting that this man checked so many of my boxes on paper. So
what
for
were
me,
some of the boxes? Because I need to know. What are some of the boxes? Help the girls make a list, Sierra. Help the girls make a list.
First of all, the man's fine. Like, just the...
That's all.
Just this,
you have a range 6 feet? And a... Okay. That's fair.
About six. You know, I'm a solid 5'7", so it's cute for me. But he was just... There. Chocolate and bearded and had beautiful teeth, which is a thing for me, like flawless teeth, but also double degreed, really smart, self-aware, and was really like, seemed very straightforward, which I always appreciate. And also made me laugh, just like that good warm giggle. I love the sound of his voice, just the timbre and the tone of it. Body was bodying, like just all of the things. And also when he wanted to be really open and vulnerable, those moments were fewer and far between. But, you know, I think one of the best sort of periods of the relationship was when I was at my actual worst. I had a major setback and he really kind of pulled up and showed up for me in a lot of ways that he hadn't before. I think that I realized later that sort of empowered him, you know, me being in a weak position actually made him feel better about a lot of things.
Yeah, because it kind of validated for him where he was at.
Right.
You had your first red flag. You guys kind of had your first disagreement and argument. Tell us a little bit.
We had our first argument. And he had been very honest with me about something. It was a behavioral thing where I was like, that's not okay. Like, don't, this is a boundary. Like, that's not cute. It's not cool. Don't be doing that shit.
And that's real. Sometimes you just have to be like, no, we just gonna say, don't do it.
Right. So he hung up on me, which is, you know, a thing.
Oh, no.
And then I hear from him for a few days.
How many days?
It was a holiday weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to say it was like,
okay, so like a 4-day weekend. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. So they went radio on a holiday. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. And I lost my shit because that was one of the things, but that's a trigger for me.
Me as well, can't do it. So this red flag that comes about from him not acknowledging this boundary.
Yeah. So I just fell apart emotionally. I realized it was that weekend. I was like, this isn't normal, right? Like, something is off here. You need to get your ass back to therapy. The fact that this person that you just met has unraveled you so quickly, something is wrong.
How long have you all been dating at this point, if you don't mind me?
So this is maybe... I think we're just about 3 weeks in at this point.
Molly, you in danger, girl. Don't let y'all have fucked. Have y'all fucked too?
No.
Woo, praise Jesus. That could be your only saving grace, because, you know, once the seed is planted, it's only going to grow from there. It's only going to grow from there. People don't get that shit. Seed, they use the word seed for a reason.
Right.
So he's unraveled you, and now... you've gone to therapy. Is that your first step? Do you even acknowledge, like, what happens? Like, because you've snapped.
Yeah, I've snapped.
Have you even realized that you've snapped and that you're like, this is not okay?
I did, to a point. right? Like, there's still an intake process. The therapist that I wanted is finally available. Like, but eventually he pops back up. We have another conversation about some shit he was going through. And I was like, okay, but
he gave you a Capricorn ass band-aid ass excuse for the bullshit instead of really just
very
saying,
much
like,
that
I was very pissed the fuck that. Off about you calling me out on my shit. So I decided to emotionally punish you for calling me out.
Very much that. Yeah.
Oh, the abuse.
That's exactly what was happening. And in real time. So around this time, I'm like, okay. This was also my best friend was getting married that summer. He was getting married in St. Croix in August. My sister, my good Judy Aaron. And so around the time that I met him, we were just getting, we'd been playing this bachelor party for Aaron in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was that week or the week after that I met him, that we were in New Orleans. Because I was very much like on the side of Bourbon Street, keying with my phone, right?
You know, you have your little drunk text, your little
right,
drunk
right.
Right. You know, whenever you get drunk, you have a little boo. You always want to just, your little FaceTime. Oh, don't let your face beat. Don't let your face be on 10. Don't let you have a season 10 beat. Don't let me look good, bitch. If all cylinders are firing, I'm FaceTiming you because I want you to get into the glow. I want you to get into the glow.
Here's the fit for the day. OOTD. Down live. All of that.
Breaking news. I'm bad as fuck. Anyways.
So you know, fast forward a few weeks. And I say to him, we're in a better place. Things are feeling good. I feel that like this is my person.
How do you resolve that though? Like, is it just you just decide to just keep going?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, okay. A, we're still getting to know each other. B, you know, I don't know all of your traumas. I've got a good understanding of maybe what they are. C, I'm still very much in a place of, I may have overreacted. I did in that moment, right? To a point. Mm-hmm. I think that I should take the writing on the wall, but I melted down. And how much of that is your problem versus how much of that is my problem?
So now you got to take some accountability and take some from that. So it's like, okay, if you want to move forward, maybe we shouldn't make this such a big deal. We should just move forward.
Right. Right.
Okay, I get that.
And the backstory too is that, you know, once I actually got my intake done and I got back into therapy, which is a couple weeks after that fight, I was very focused on not being the person I used to be in relationships.
And who was that person?
That person was having funerals for people every day.
Like, you just cut them off. Like,
for the slightest
up that it stuck.
You know, like, I've thrown people out for wearing American Eagle underwear in my house. Like, which is also like, you're a grown ass man. Don't do that shit.
Yeah. But and see, that's the place I always come from. And then it's just like, yeah, it's like.
But at the slightest.
I won't judge you.
Or misstep, I would cut you off. Like, cut your head off. Like, you're not. And a lot of that was rooted in, you know, there was a hand mirror of, no, I see things about you that are inherent in me and I'm comfortable with them. So you have to go, or you're triggering something else that's related to a fault line of growth that I need to hit that I haven't hit yet. So you have to go. So there, having that awareness of, I don't want to show up in the same ways that I showed up before. So how do I learn to give people grace, and how do I start to discern what is a red flag versus what is just a personal trigger or perception of something. So I was in that mode at the time, and that sort of carried through, I think, through the length of this situation. But I felt strongly that this was my person. He knew that this wedding was a big event for me and for Aaron, and I extended an invite to him. I said, hey, do you want to come with me? And it was a destination wedding, and it seemed like far enough out. You know, I could check a lot of boxes. Me, I'm a Virgo, you know, efficiency, right? So I'm like, so we can get the travel part out of the way, see how you travel, see how well you do. You'll get to meet my community of people. They'll get to size you up and vet you, but also we'll get to take a break, and it's an amazing vacation, and we'll just get like some one-on-one time that isn't in one of these fucking cities that's really away, and it can be a real like bonding experience. And so I asked him if he wanted to go, and I said, you know, I've actually already sent in my RSVP, but like, if you want to go, I'll talk to Aaron about it, and we'll see. And he was like, yeah, I would love to go. And He's like, you know, this would be our first trip together. Maybe we hire a photographer and like bring them along too, because I really want to make sure we document it. And, okay. And he said, no. He said, you know, I want to go, but I need to have final approval on all your little swimsuits, because, you know, you be acting up.
Oh, okay. That, well, come on. Well, the, you said, know, that'll make a bitch walk funny. Okay.
Right. Right. It's okay. Ready. All right. Well, let me go talk to my sister and see if I can, if you know, I know they're still processing the invites, and see if we can get one more added.
Just, you know, so, you got a seat at the table.
Right. So I call my best and he's like, absolutely. Like, it's totally fine. We'll make the adjustment. Cool. So August rolls around and there have been some breaks in conversation and communication with him. There was another point where he kind of just fell off and disappeared.
Mm.
And I was not with the shit at all. And
okay.
He fought his way back. And, you know, at one point it was just like, look, I just bought my ticket for St. Croix. Are you coming or not? Because I need to plan accordingly.
And you're like, I don't really care either way. I just want
to
know.
Right. I need to know if you're coming.
At this point now, you don't even care anymore, because you're like, you keep playing in my face.
Right. Those are the exact words that I used with him. You continue to play in my face. So like, and at this point, it's just give me a straight answer. Are you coming or not?
Mm-hmm.
And this man says to me, what do you mean? Are you coming to the wedding or not? Well, I wasn't invited.
Didn't you ask him months ago? So
yeah.
How did that?
Yeah. Did I not go and have an in-person conversation with one of the grooms to make sure that we can accommodate you? Did you not float this idea of bringing in another photographer so we could document these things? Did you not say, like, you weren't invited?
We were just pontificating.
And he continued with this storyline. He never said he was going. He doesn't recall getting an invite.
So what's the logic around the conversation?
There was none. It went from I wasn't invited to I never said I was going to, oh, that was an inside. I thought we were joking. But here's where it gets fucking heinous.
And this is so, like in July or June?
This is in August. So I go to the wedding.
Oh, so this is in August and you guys were talking and it's just like, nah.
Well, no. So that conversation happened probably in June or July. And I was like,
okay.
Right. It was July. I get to the wedding in August. Keep in mind, weddings are emotional anyway, right? Because
weddings are very emotional.
You're happy for the person, but also the possibilities of what does that mean for you, right? And for me, I got very present to seeing these two incredibly wonderful, talented Black gay men get married on this island.
Beautiful.
And to have the person who was doing the ceremony, like quoting Shakespeare and talking about the possibilities and the shifts in the earth that love creates. And with one of my very best friends who has stretched me as a person and has given me so much personally. And this person that I thought was my person was supposed to be there. Granted, at this point, I'm okay with it that he's not there. It's probably better that he isn't. Mm-hmm. But it's still close to the heartstrings. Yeah,
there's still a pain there.
So fine. I'm on my fucking paparazzi shit. I'm doing a whole Instagram story because I promised my best that I would. I'm on it. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker starts responding to the story.
Oh, no.
Look over your shoulder because I might just pop up.
No, and damn sure you never had any intention of being there. Why are you fucking with me, Casper? I don't have time.
And at this point, it's like, oh, this shit is cruel.
What is the point?
Now it's pointed. Like, now you're making it really personal, right? Like, you just couldn't be ain't shit in peace.
Were y'all good before you got on the plane?
It was tense. A couple of weeks before that, I was in Vegas and I'd gone to Vegas to see Janet. And that's like that's always like a spiritual experience for me. So leave me alone, because I'm going to go connect with Demita Joe and get my fucking chakras aligned. Okay. We were on decent terms and not the best, but especially knowing this trip was coming up. You know, I cut him off shortly thereafter that trip. And he wound up coming back.
Him coming back, what does that look like? And why were you okay with it?
It looks like him calling constantly, wanting to explain himself, and then getting a hold of me and not really explaining himself.
No, I get what you're saying. It's kind of like that, like barrage. And it's like, huh, but I want you. And I
look, it's love bombing. It's exactly what
it is. Oh my gosh, that's the word. Thank you. Yes. And it's like, I'm just going to keep like hurling this at you until
and
you
when
break
people
down.
know the things that you need to say.
Oh, yes.
To get you to a place where you're malleable again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Zooming out, That was one of the most egregious things that happened. But there were several other things, you know. In June of that year, that summer, I felt like, again, this was my person. Mm-hmm. I'm back in therapy, and there was a lot of things that were uncovered and sort of unearthed during my onboard back into therapy. And it explained a lot of shit, but there was a lot of new information. And I thought, okay, I was very concerned with not showing up like I did before. And what I realized in that moment was I was showing up that way because there was a lot of like unchecked trauma and a lot of things that I was not dealing with because I didn't have the awareness of them. And now I have the awareness of it. And this is not baggage that I want to carry into this new situation. So the best way for me to get ahead of it is to share it with him and let him know what's going on. And so I did that, and that was a problem. He made it about him. I shared something really personal and traumatic, and he was upset that I hadn't told him sooner about it. And for me, and what I said to him was, I needed to be sure that this was a safe place for me to share this.
Mm-hmm. As you should be.
He turned that into, oh, you're saying that I'm not safe.
Right. No, this is my truth.
This is not about you. Right. This is my, exactly. Exactly. And again, shut down. Gave me the silent treatment. Like, so now I have given you, I've laid bare something that I've not really discussed with anyone. There are very few people outside of my therapist. And this is how you react. And you're saying, I wanted to make sure it was a safe space. And clearly it's not now. So how right. do I recover from this? So there was a lot of shit like that. And what I recognize it now as is, you know, it's gaslighting 101. If I can emotionally back you into a corner, then I can manipulate you going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened over and over again. And a lot of that was rooted in, I never said that. What do you mean? Even in terms of negotiating things sexually, there are conversations. Consent is important. I personally
consent
like
very important.
Enthusiastic consent. Like I want...
For me, enthusiastic. Yes, fuck me. Okay.
Right. Not just okay, yes. Like, I know you need to be energetic and enthusiastic about it.
I wanna come on, play that Luda.
Right.
Tell me what you want to do.
People have their boundaries and they have their things, and we have to have a clear understanding of what those things are in order for us to have the best time possible. So there's no confusion and there are no trigger points. We had a conversation about him wanting to try something one day. And I said, well, look, I'm down. All right. For you, we could do that. Like, I'm in it. Right. But then it comes up a few weeks later. And he's like, I never said that. Why would I ever say that? You know, I don't fuck around like that.
So, well, then why are you creating the space for us to have conversations about shit that's never going to happen?
Happen. Right. Right.
Because you want to fuck with me. Was you bored?
But.
Is it a different personality? I just need to know how many.
Right, you got seven. I want to meet all seven of personalities so I know who I'm dealing with.
I might like somebody better.
Right. It was a lot of that. And there was just a lot of withholding. And he was very adamant that all the doors to my emotional house be unlocked to him.
Mm-hmm. You have to have complete access to you.
But was not willing to do the same.
When do you stop going back? When do you get tired?
I get tired. Well, there...
As my therapist would say, that's why I had to phrase it like that. My therapist, she says, when you get tired, you get really tired. She says, when you say you're tired, you're really not tired. That's just like you're a little worn out.
Right. So last March, we had a conversation. COVID was just ravaging New York City. And I was feeling all kinds of ways about it. And, you know, that day or the day before, and I didn't share this part with him, but I had gone on a walk just to kind of clear my head a little bit because I had been stuck in the house, you know, like we were. And in my neighborhood, not too far from my, there's a nursing home. And I turned the corner, I passed the nursing home every day, and they were rolling a body out, and they were rolling it onto a refrigerated truck full of bodies, stacked with bodies who had been ravaged by COVID.
A mess.
So to say that I was a little bit raw about the situation, I think would be an understatement. We had a conversation. He was making a death joke. And I was telling him to not play like that because I'm not in the space for it. And I got really worked up. And I told him, listen, I can't have this conversation with you. I have to go. I hung up the phone.
That was respectful.
Well, Mr. Capricorn, you can't hang up on him. He can do it to you.
Oh yeah. But
hanging up on him is like punching him in the mouth.
Oh yeah, that's disrespectful. Do not hang up on me.
But
so why do you do it to me?
The way I saw it was, I told you I needed to go. So this was
that
not
was
me
your exit. That was face. Respectful.
Right? When I tell you I didn't hear from this man for 38 days, I called him at the end again, called him a couple times. He didn't respond. Zero contact for 38 days. And then he calls my phone. And I'll never forget it. It was the day that the Savage remix came out. Because that's what I had just finished my meeting and I was listening to Megan B. And I said, bitch, I needed this today. Thank you. Thank you, Virgo number one. I'm feeling good about life and myself. And here he come. So he calls and he's talking to me like nothing even fucking happened.
Like nothing happened. Where you been? What you been up to?
And I'm losing my mind.
Why ain't heard from you?
Right. And no answers for anything. Well, no explanation.
Don't let you call him out and be like, what happened?
What's going on? What happened? Fuck you mean? What do you mean? What? Nothing. You didn't call me either.
Well, all right. Well, I guess we're at a stalemate. What's going to happen?
So then at this point, I'm like, all right. You know, it was hard because I very much loved this man, right? So I went back to therapy and I said, listen, here's where
I'm
at.
That's real.
We need to have a hard reset. Like we can be in communication, but we need to get some things cleared up because there's a lot of shit here. Mm-hmm. So I went back to him and I said, look, we need to have a clearing conversation. Let me explain to you what that is. We will talk about you. I want you to come with notes, things prepared. I want you to come with fucking bullet points of things that you want to talk about, things that maybe we got wrong, misunderstood. I got a few things that I need some clarity on. Mm. And if we can have this conversation and get all this on the table, then I'm willing to press the reset button with you. Mm. Is that something that you're willing to do? Because he had this other thing too, because I like to have these conversations regularly. He don't. He called the relationship homework. He was very resistant to any sort of accountability.
We don't want to do all that. We don't want to do all that work if we're going to get caught up in that. We don't want to do all that.
Yeah, and I don't understand.
That's not going to paint us in the perception. We're not going to be painted in a good light.
Like you get a physical every year, don't you? We need to check up on the status and the heartbeat of the relationship because we're humans and resentments happen.
That would mean he would have to do the work. We would have to shine a light on the shit you're not doing.
Right.
We just need to keep this perception that I'm doing everything right up.
But we know you're not, and that's the thing. I already know you're not. So you may as well. Bring your grievances, because that's the other thing.
HR, come on to HR. Bring let's go sit down. Let's have his limit squeeze.
Because in the heat of the moment, it's, oh, you always want to talk about what I do. What about what you do? So let's talk about what
let's
I do.
Let's talk about it. There you go.
Let's address it. But be specific.
Think about it. Let's make this.
Right.
Let's make it constructive. I'm willing
to call me to the carpet. I'm willing to be accountable because I'm willing to fight for this and for you. But if we're not really having a dialogue about it, then what are we doing?
You're not getting anywhere. That's where you're not getting.
Right. So he said he was willing to do it. He said he didn't want to do it, but he was willing to do it because he knows it's something that's important for me at this point. I said, great. There was a death in his family that week. I said, okay, cool. Obviously,
did
not
you verify the documentation?
Well, listen, baby.
Because I'm just going to tell you. I feel like I can communicate with you with a look.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bryce.
You sure can, and you're not wrong. I believe this person died. I don't want to believe that he faked that, but
no shade. I'm just saying.
I have no ways of verifying it.
People who gaslight and manipulate are capable, mm-hmm. and I can only say this as a person who has lied myself. I'll put myself on stake as the person who has lied and faked to death to avoid something uncomfortable or to avoid bullshit or to avoid being caught up. So I say all that to say, question everything. I question everything because I've done it all. Don't try to fuck me, fuck boy.
Yeah, well.
Nevertheless, hopefully, rest in peace.
Allegedly, this funeral happens.
Not allegedly. Come on, Wendy Show, allegedly.
And I'm like, all right. I said, you know, we still need to have this conversation. I don't know what kind of space you're in at this point. Are you still down to have it? He said, yeah. I said, okay, we'll do it Saturday this time. He didn't show up. And it was at that point where I was like, okay, I'm done.
There you go. As your best friend, that's what, as your best friend outside, that's what I'm clapping outside, like, yes, but, oh, this time, no, no, because there was no excuse. You could have, you literally gave him the opportunity to be like, I need more time. I need to process. Right.
And I'd give him the opportunity.
You could have come over and just cried. We couldn't,
Yeah. So, I got an interesting fast forward to November.
Oh, and for this past year.
Yeah. And I get an email where he just sort of like lays out, because, you know, at this point I blocked him, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
he doesn't have access now.
Like, so don't get about here. And it's a sort of I'm sorry, but also like a mea culpa. This is the dirt that I was doing the entire time. So when you were losing your fucking mind and I was accusing you of things, I was, you know, out here carrying on with other people here and there. All kinds of just...
What is the point?
Where I messed up was trying to make sense of any of it.
Oh, yeah. Because that would be me too, because I need to... Me, the type of person I am, I can't have like open things.
Right. And I'm trying to connect the dots. And I spent a year and a half trying to connect the dots and make sense of things.
It's not going to make any sense. Tell me why you did me wrong.
It doesn't make sense to him. Hurt people fucking hurt people. He can't make sense of all the turmoil in his own heart and mind. So me trying to make sense of his actions, especially with the limited amount of information that I had, you know, because he was not being transparent about most things. And that didn't really shake out to later too, where it was like, oh, you were literally telling me one thing and doing another while berating me for not being available and completely 100% vulnerable and open with you.
When really you need to be berating yourself.
Right. And then, so the work for me became unpacking like the gaslighting and did you just run head first into a narcissist? And why are you so, me, I'm talking to myself, why are you so hesitant to call this behavior abusive?
No, because that's what it was, 1,000%. It was emotional abuse, without a doubt.
Absolutely. And part of that was the selective memory. You know, if I can say that I didn't say that I don't remember it, then I have no accountability to you.
And we're just going to keep playing this game until you get tired, because really that's what it is. I just need you to get tired enough not to care anymore.
Right. And then once you get tired, I'm going to pop my head back in to see if maybe you got a little more energy at some point.
Because I need more. I'm not.
I need the validation.
Whew. Trigger warning. Yeah. All right. Whoa.
And I'm at a point in my own life where I'm tired of playing defense. You know, I just want to show up and be friendly and soft and like open. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, that became my goal as well. I just wanted to show up as 100% myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I only like share, like in my situation, I felt like everything I was doing was wrong, or I wasn't being the right version of myself for that person.
Yeah.
Like either, like at one point I was told Justin Rain, like, you know, like when I'm an actor, I'm like hosting things or whatever, I'm using a professional voice on video. You don't like that voice. You don't like how I sound. You don't like how I behave or interact when I am working in a professional capacity as like an entertainer. So I'm like, well, what do I do with that? Because me, and I'm in therapy,
he doesn't like that piece of me. Or you just don't like the fact that I'm working in this capacity. See, that is the real issue.
You use the affectations. It's like, so then I'm like, because I'm like, all right, like I'm still doing my work and trying to unpack my toxic masculinity. I'm like, is it because you feel like I act too white, or I act too gay, or I'm too feminine in these spaces? And like when I'm just chill, well, of course, when I'm sitting at the house in basketball shorts and slides and I got no drawers, you're going to feel like I'm the traitorous nigga in the world and a wife beater. Like, of course, like what the fuck? Like, no, like this is me. Like, I'm going to have like, no, I'm not pretty 24/7. Like my skin may be clean, but I'm not trying to be all done up.
I mean, the skin is skinning though. Y'all can't see it, but it does look pretty great.
Shout out to the spotlight treatment. I have all my girls at work on it.
Yes, and Justin is a house bunny. You know, if you want to be a house bunny, yes. housebunny.com.
Yes, I haven't officially converted. Yes, I'm all about it. I sip the Kool-Aid. Don't bother me. Okay? Because I'm going to die on this hill. Don't make good shit that also has amazing packaging because I will be loyal. Just be about your business and you can get my money because I will give it to you. And I'm an honest girl. If I tell you I'm going to buy it, I'll buy it. But enough about me like raving about him and his amazing skincare. In House Urban, but so you, we were just talking about how the gaslighting and the manipulation and how all of these things really are just reflective of the individual not dealing with the things within and not addressing the turmoil within, and you finally hitting your point where you were like, I'm done. So with you acknowledging,
so then this is when the real work started.
Yeah, this was like, where do you pick up from there? And do
so then it became, there was a core issue that I needed to deal with. And the question became, why did you put up with this? Why did you accept this? Because if I were to look back on it, the behavior was consistent. You know, the not showing up for things, the not keeping your word, the gaslighting, the selective memory. That was the one consistent thing about him. So the question became, why did I put up with this? Why did I accept this? Multiple times, over and over again. And I think that the answer and the hard answer is that there was a worthiness gap. I don't think that at that particular point, I felt like I could do any better. This person kind of checked all my boxes on paper, right? And I think that part of me maybe felt like, well, this is your chance, right? This is the person that you've been wanting and dreaming up and trying to manifest and call in. And maybe you're not actually worthy of them. That's where my head was at, I think, maybe at the time. But starting to really understand and learn that, like, I was accepting this bad behavior because I didn't feel like I was worthy of anything better. And it's not uncommon. It's not unusual, especially for us, especially for, you know, as Black gay people, particularly by gay men, we are told... from the beginning,
you be a Christian.
Oh, right.
You probably are a large percentage.
That was my next point. We're told by our community that by showing up as we are and how we are doing a disservice to our broader community, to our people, to our liberation. We are a problem. This is messaging that we've gotten since we were kids, right? So you take that and it's like an onion, right? It's got all these different layers to it. So we start to sort of come into our own identities and our own well-beings. Most of us, you know, we get a late start because of the nature of who and what we're dealing with, right? Like everyone else gets to kind of work out these things in the eighth and ninth grade. A lot of us don't really start until like we're in our late teens, early 20s, having these relationships and these sort of one-to-one interactions that teach us these things. And we internalize a lot of the things that the world tells us. And for me, I had internalized my, so maybe what I considered to be my past failings in relationships. And it was the perfect storm. I was in a place where I was insecure about a lot of things, but also was not secure in my ability to have or maintain a relationship of a man with a man of a certain caliber, or what I thought. And so I was allowing things that I would never allow. Someone recently that I had spoken with, we were talking about this recently, and he said to me, he goes, you have to think of yourself as your own child, right? If you were a parent to yourself, if you saw someone treating your child this way, what would you do?
Well, first of all, jail. Chokey. Go straight to the chokey.
Right. If you were in your own child, like, you would fucking step in. Like, this would not happen. So why do you allow it to happen to yourself? So we have to reparent ourselves in a lot of ways. And there is some, you know, some key nurturing that needed to happen that I was not giving to myself. The next part kind of became, and this is the struggle. Once I had that realization, that understanding of what was happening, learning to forgive myself for it. Because ultimately in all these situations, if it hadn't been me in the moment, I know better. I knew something was wrong at that first fucking argument where I fell apart. That physical reaction that I had, the psychological reaction that I had, that was not normal. That was completely out of character for me. That should have been the first sign. It wasn't, nor was the fifth or the sixth or the seventh. And so then it became an issue of, oh my God, I did this to myself. How and why? And maybe you're not as smart as you think you are. And then it becomes a question of forgiveness. How do I forgive myself for putting myself through this and allowing this to happen? Mm-hmm. I'm not all the way there yet. I'm probably about 80%. I think one of the things that I lean on in that respect is that I was doing what I thought was best in the moment with the information that I had. I was dealing with someone who was not being above board and being transparent with me, and I thought that they were. So it was easy for me to make myself the problem. When you have someone looking you in your face and telling you, you need to be more open and you need to be more vulnerable, and I just want to be here for you and I just want to support you, and they are not doing that with you and hiding it. It's easy for you to feel crazy. You know, when you're having serious, heart-led, intimate conversations with someone and then they deny that it happens, that is systematic and that's going to break you down. So of course it's going to cloud your judgment. Of course it's going to cause confusion. So holding yourself to the standard of abuse and self-forgiveness, right? Or being unable to forgive yourself in these moments when you were operating under duress is not helpful.
Oh no, that's probably the worst thing ever. I think that's the thing that is so crippling, at least for me and my growth and my healing. In my sleep, at least, that's when I have my biggest battles, because I can distract myself with work and all this other stuff, and I, you know, you can focus on, because everyone has done something wrong, and as fuckboy problems was birthed from me being a fuckboy, you know, my journey in healing and forgiveness and making amends with other people and things like that, that is a difficult one. Because at some point, people can make you feel like you have done too much wrong. And, you know, there's a threshold to where, like, okay, no, now.
Yeah, and you're like, how much of this is my own karma for that thing that I did 5 years ago?
Yeah, and I tell people that all the time, like, karma is a bitch. And I certainly feel like I have faced my set of karma.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
forgive me. But also, when you know better, you do better. And so much of this is just learning and growing and understanding what our thresholds are. And, you know, I think that I got a little... There was a smoke screen. I got a little caught up in the trappings. And I think that was sort of the breakdown of this situation too. I think he wanted the experience without the person attached, ultimately. And I hate saying this, but I guess I am now, as a semi-public person, a public-facing person, there are things that I think and assumptions that people make about me, which is going to happen, but you know, they don't really know or really see the multitudes that's in the person, right? Like they see the product, they see the brand, they see the messaging, they see the videos, they see the things. And I've crafted all of that and it's strategic and I very much am responsible for all of it. But I think that sometimes it attracts, in general, if you're a person who, some people are lighthouses. Mm-hmm. When you beam light, you're going to attract dark.
You bring in people.
It's going to happen. You're right. All kinds of people are going to come. And some of them are good for you. Most of them are not.
That's right. It's
about refining the discernment.
That's the piece. Mm-hmm. Can you read the room? Listening to your gut. Oh my gosh.
And your gut's never wrong, baby.
It's not. I tell you every time there was a little girl in LA, every time I felt her, I felt something, either like the way you would address me and be like, oh, hey, Justin, or oh, hey, that's that boy from Instagram. What the fuck? I got a whole career, baby. If you, honey.
Right.
I do big shit for a big brand. Instagram is cute.
And Ben.
Because that's how we met. Okay. Okay. Don't let the cute face fool you. Don't let
it. Right.
I comes up out of this and works. But anyways, yeah. No, listen to your gut. Every time that bitch, every time would say a little dig. Finally, by the end, was sending pictures of me to people I found out and was asking them, did they think my photos were photoshopped? Only to be the person who sits around whenever I have gathered with these people in LA and admittedly talks about how they are photoshopping their pictures, Miss Piggy. And I don't care about, honey, I gain, I lose, and I show you I can bring it every season.
Right.
Like, I don't care about, like, I'm a very body positive person. You see my body in a lot of different shapes and sizes. But, honey, one thing I won't do is do that. And also, I won't try to attack another girl to make me shine. Did you get the guy? Did you get the job? Did you?
Something about it. You triggered her.
I don't know why. I don't even know that girl. Then I found out. And that was the key. She had tried to talk to my ex.
Oh, see,
found out. Nookie,
nookie. Here's a new
and
cookie.
Found out in the midst of that mess that they were my ex, and my ex was like, "No, you know my ex," and they had finally put the pieces together. But then found out me and my ex had got back together. Remember, people say they're tired, but they're not always tired. And then me and my ex had got back together in the midst of that. And then she gags. And then I just kindly let her know. I was like, so I've seen the news. I've seen the messages. Oh, I don't have, because you tried me now.
Right.
I said, I love you. I respect you as an individual. I think you have a beautiful face. You know? Just know that that's me. If you did not know, just know that that's me. At the time, that was me. It's definitely not me now. Let me be clear. I don't want no association. You can have it. You can crawl once again on that floor in Atlanta to try to suck that man's dick. That was also disgusting. Don't do that, young man. Don't crawl on nobody's floor to go suck a man's dick. Yes, that's what that was. To try to get with my ex. Despicable. You were sleeping on somebody else's couch and crawled on the floor, on a carpet floor, because you know we're in Atlanta.
Right. All that brown carpet.
Embarrassed? just have some couth and at least know how to spell it if you're going to do it.
Listen, wow. Wow.
So, you know, people will try you.
Oh, they try me every day. Every day I'm testing.
People will try you if you try to be nice. Whenever I started trying to be a nice person, I came to LA trying to be that LA girl. I'm nice. I'm friendly. I'm not that New York bitch.
No, that doesn't.
I should just been myself and just kept it cute and been quiet. She was gonna talk about me anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
People are nasty, but enough about that. So this is where you're at now. And you say you feel like you're about 80% healed. You're in a good place.
Yeah, I think that it's you learn as time goes on. That like some wounds are not gonna heal. Like I'm not gonna carry this with me for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah, you're always gonna feel a way when you kind of think about certain stuff.
Yeah, and it's hard too because it's like that wedding piece was such a big deal. So now I'm like every anniversary of theirs, I'm gonna think about it, and that's also the week before my birthday, so I'm gonna think about it. Like I just
have you heard of chrono triggering? My therapist told me about it recently.
No.
So you can be, if you had a traumatic event, I suffer from it. If you had like a traumatic event, you can actually be triggered. Your body will physically trigger you like when that time comes in. So some people suffer from seasonal depression. If you had something really bad every time that year, you can be depressed. You'll just feel like an ongoing of like an overwhelming feeling of like triggering and depression and trauma. And so that's a possibility. So just be aware of that. Also, that may be a little bit of something playing there. If your mood always shifts, you're always feeling kind of like a way around that time. That's something that also happens. It's kind of sucky.
It's good to know. Then it tracks. It makes sense.
Yeah, certain things. If it always happens every year, like me, wintertime, like my birthday, I'm just like, no, let's just not.
So oh, yeah. Yeah. I have winter depression moment is real for me as well. But here's the one, I have that one thing that I learned that I think that I want to share with your audience. And it's the one thing that you can always lean on. And it's, fortunately I figured it out too late, but hopefully it'll save you.
Hopefully.
Cause you know, you don't get it till you get it.
Listen up.
Right. Here's what I need everyone to remember, especially when you are dealing with these men. Lean in. If he wanted to, he would. Now, I want you to think about the men in your life. And I think this is true for most of them. Not all of them, but those ones got problems anyway. But when a man wants something, it's going to be very hard to stop him from getting it. You know, unless it's I want $1 million or whatever he broke, fine. But in terms of, especially in terms of a person or a relationship, if he wants to do something and he wants to be with you, he gonna do it. He wanted to call, he would. He wanted to show up, he would. He wanted you to know how he was feeling, he would tell you. Mm. I think too often we put ourselves in these subservient sort of positions where we do all this extra, right? Like, if someone is for you, you won't need to convince them, you won't need to coerce them, you won't need to cajole them.
But part of that is our abandonment too, right?
Right. Because that's what we're used to, right? Some of us, that's how we earn love from our parents or for whoever else who maybe wasn't around.
If I do everything right, you won't leave.
Right.
I know for me, it's like, if I perform exactly the way you need me to, if I play this part for you, right.
And that also kind of plays into overgiving too, which is also another form of codependency. I'm guilty of that, of thinking of my giving as an insurance policy. Well, if I go above and beyond all the time, then at some point they're going to have to for me, right?
No. You always die with that expectation that they're going to meet and that they're going to reciprocate it in the exact same way, because you are really setting yourself up for failure. Please don't do that.
But to that point, anything that's real will reciprocate.
Now, that is true.
You won't have to do all that extra. You won't have to worry about it. Like, it will just be natural ebb and flow, give and take. It won't just be take all the time. But if he wanted to, he would. That's the real rule. So when you find yourself in that moment and you staring at your phone, like, I don't know what to do. If he wanted to, he would. Lean on that. And if he's not, put his ass out. Move on. Because it's not going to get any better.
Okay, now tell everyone out there a little bit about House Urban. Tell a little bit about you. Tell everybody out there how they can find you before we move on to your song of the week.
Yeah. So House Urban is my skincare line. We're going to be 6 years old this year. Very excited. We make skin and body care for all types of bodies. The brand originally started to meet the needs of the professional performing artist. So we test on actors, not animals. But we test on them first, and then we give the goods to everybody else. So our range is really about making sure everything is balanced, moisturized, hydrated, and making sure that your skin has what it needs. So to that end, and then we also have really beautiful fragrance stories, fragrance options, usually in the form of a body butter, because that's the best way to get everything locked in and plump and firm and toned. Our body butters are whipped and quickly absorbed and beautifully scented, and generous sizes. So we have a little bit of everything for everyone, whatever you may need. houseurban.com. It's houseurban.com. Urban, like the store you used to love back in the day. We'd love to have you be a house bunny. That's also, we have a community of fans called the House Bunnies. They're everything. Come join us. It's a good time.
And they support each other.
Absolutely. They do. Yes.
You might get a gig or two, bitch. I'm just putting it out there.
Right. Playing around with a house bunny. You might come up on some.
A few of them bunnies, the girls are about their business. At least the girls that have clocked me. Oh, yeah. Oh. Let's talk. Okay. When we come right back, we'll be with the song of the week portion of the show.
Hey. How about we listen to a little bit of music?
Bro. How did you know? I love this song!
Hey, hi! That is my song!
Hi.
You know they gave me a shout out on the album, right?
Word?
Yes! Everywhere I go, I see the same.
We're at the song of the week. No, at the song. No, I'm just like, I'm not even gonna try to do that because I'm not that girl. You remember?
It was cute though. I was ready. I was in it.
Boom. You know the girls on the corner. I remember elementary school. They said, "A boom chick, a rock rock chick, a rock rock chick, a boom." No, I love Dejanay. But no, we are at the song of the week portion of the show. Hassan has picked a really good song. You know, this is up and coming girl, but she's about it.
Yeah,
go on, tell the people.
She's an up-and-coming girl. You know, she's definitely one of Ariana's sons. So I didn't take her seriously in the beginning because I was like, baby, we already have a ponytail. We don't need pigtails. Thank you. Move on. Mm. But she snuck up on me. I was working out and the song was playing and she was going in with the lyrics. And she opens with, "I'm letting you in, you're letting me down. I swear when you talk, you just like the sound. One too many times I let you ruin my life because I thought you would change, but I see it now." And I said, that sounds like my business, Madison. But so the song is called Boy Shit, and she's talking about she's with this dude and like he thinks he's a man in his head, but he's not, and he keeps coming back, but his love is poison and she's trying to avoid it because it's not, she back on her shit, she's focusing on herself, and he got no get right, and she doesn't know what he's talking about because she don't speak boy. Sorry, come on your grown man and maybe we can chat, but until then it's a dub. And it's a little bit of a bop, and it's not like on my little workout playlist, and every time it hits I'm like, yes, you're in right where you need to be. So I thought I'd share that. I felt like it was apropos for the topic.
Come on, apropos for the topic. Well, this is Boy Shit by Miss Madison Beer.
Cause I don't speak boy shit, so trying to get through to you is pointless. You might have a way with words, but I'm a woman. I can't understand you, cause I don't speak boy enough.
Come on, make me believe what you're saying.
Can we waken this up a little?
Well, yeah, if you think you can.
Okay. Deanna.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention.
Wait a minute.
We are at the Fuckboy Fix. You know, it's a self-care tip. We have been on our growth talk today. I've really invested in it. That's why I didn't want to do the fuckboy versus fucked up. I said, we're not confusing this with a letter and getting his business mixed up with somebody else. I just want him to talk. We had talked and I really cared about the story. So if you guys are wondering why you don't have a fuckboy versus fucked up, that's why, because I want to focus on you and your story and share your healing. So for the fix today, what is your fix going to be, Hassan?
Here's the fix. If he wanted to, he would. That should be your rallying cry. Whenever you are doubtful about what someone's intentions are or how they're acting or what they didn't do, you got to ask yourself or remind yourself, if he wanted to, he would. And if he didn't, and he didn't give you the warning or give you a clear intention of, hey, here's what happened, and this is why I didn't do this thing, but I'm going to make it up to you this way. Because sometimes that happens, right? Like life gets the best of us and, you know, things occur. But you should never be left wondering. And if you are wondering, remember that if you wanted to do it, he would do it. And then you need to govern yourself accordingly.
And no is a complete sentence.
Sometimes no is no sentence.
Thank you.
Like thank no you. Is no answer is an answer.
Oh, 1,000%. But yes, girls, put it in your journal, put it on your fridge, even if it's white, put it on your sticky notes, put it on your mirrors. Okay. I'm just saying, put it on your sticky notes, put it on your phone. I don't know. Maybe
wherever you can see it, on your bathroom mirror. I have affirmations on my mirror and my vanity. When I do my skincare, I look at them and I say them out loud. Like wherever you're going to, it's going to be eye level and you need a reminder. And mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, write it down on your phone, but don't let it live just there because you'll forget about it. You know, put it on your bedroom door.
You got to put it places you're going to bump into it.
Yeah, exactly that. Yes.
And ask yourself that question also that you said earlier in the show. I think those two questions, the question that you posed earlier was a great question. I'm going to ask myself, if this was happening to your child, how would you feel? Would you allow it?
Yeah.
You can even ask people that at work. If you're being mistreated at work, if you feel like you're being abused, ask your boss sometimes, you know, if you were in my position, what would you do? Mm-hmm. If your boss goes silent, you're being mistreated. But yeah, just a good all-around question. It's just a good all-around question. If you are uncomfortable and some things are happening to you, but if you know the answer and you don't want to accept the answer, then you also know where the work needs to start.
Right. And the thing is that's the hard part, where I had to have very candid conversations with myself about why. like, why are you entertaining this? Like, are you down?
No, I told my friends, I said, I'm breaking my own heart.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because it was breaking my heart being in it. And I was too afraid of how I would break exiting. And I felt like which broken version of me was safer. We are now a functioning broken person. I have figured out my ways of working. Like, I know what your bullshit is. I know what to expect. I know the range to a certain degree of how far your bullshit can go. And I know now that I can handle it and sustain to some degree, and I will recover. So at this point, as this broken person, I do not want to chance what is on the other side of that door.
Yeah.
Now.
And it'll all come screaming back, you know, as having this conversation. There are things that man had said to me where, like, there was one point where I was airing my grievances, thought we were going to, like, really hash it out. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, that's your reality.
Okay. Are we in an alternate dimension?
Yeah, that's your reality. That's how you see it. So
okay,
that doesn't mean I did any of this.
Must be wonderful. It's a wonderful life, literally. Like, it's a wonderful fucking life. And you know, the crazy part about it is, like, I can so easily tell you that I would tell my best friends, like, all my bitches what they would do. But I know I get talked to like that. And I was just fine and no one knew it. And no one knew I was getting talked to and treated like that. I'm probably like, you would never believe that I was dating someone like this.
That was the aftermath.
Yeah, I was dating a person for 5 years. My best friends probably met them once, twice, three times.
It wasn't 5 years, but that was the aftermath too. Is that, like, it was hard for me to reach out for support after it was all said and done, because no one knew what was going on. Because I was humiliated, one, and it was operating in a silo, but also, like, that was to his benefit, you know, mm-hmm. like, so then I had to go back and explain what had been happening for the last year and a half. And
that's a feat within itself. Whew, child. Well, we are better off for it now. Let me just tell you, the person after asked me out on a date and showed up, got on a whole plane to take me out on the first date. So guess what, sir? Your understudy, they have done you dirty. But that is only to say that there's light on the other side of the tunnel, my dolls. Yes, thank you again, gorgeous, for being on Fuckboy Problem.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a positive experience, but also super healing. And I know that I expressed that I was very nervous about doing this because it was a little raw, but this is how we bridge those gaps. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And I hope we created a space where you felt good and safe, and you were able to share in a great way. And I know that this episode is going to touch other people, and I can't wait for more people to see you and see your light. Now, bitches, stay the fuck away from his light if you don't mean him no shit now, because he's cool with me. And I am the type of person, if I'm your friend, I'd be like, nah, girl.
If you... If you see the light tower and you just want to come make a purchase, that's fine. But
don't be trying to stay around and shit. Don't be trying to linger.
Don't be trying to hang out if it ain't right.
Don't pitch no tents outside the lighthouse, okay? This is not Skid Row. You need to go into your own home. All right. That's all we're gonna say. We don't need nobody doing any emotional, you know, don't be pitching out tents. All right. Well, thank you, baby. And until next time, bye, fuckboys.
That's all, folks. Thank you again for listening to today's podcast. Please make sure to subscribe, rate it, and share with a friend wherever you are listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FBProbs, FBProbs. And please make sure to add our playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. And if you got fuckboy problems, please email us at FBProbs@JustinRain.com. That's FBProbs at Justin, JUSTIN, Rain, RAYNE.com. See you next episode, fuckboys.